Texas.
That's so dumb.
Felger.
Oh, you idiot.
In Mass.
Holy crap.
Felger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, fourth and final hour, Felger Mass, 5:04 in the evening. Final hour of your calls here on Agenda Free Friday. If you're just listening on the radio side, Murray's not picked up on NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country every single day.
The globe.
So you missed it on TV. The radio side, Murray said that Kareem Hunt was sent home today from Kansas City upon release of the video. This is sort of my beef. It's like, the video gets you sent home? Why didn't the incident get you sent home? If the video should be...
No, because this is how every team in the league handles these situations. Okay, but until there's video, they all stick their heads in the sand.
Okay, but this is what's wrong.
Right, no, I know.
It's like, the bleep doesn't hit the fan until there's video of it. Otherwise, everyone brushes it under the rug or portrays it as not being as bad as it was, or somehow it's not as bad as it was until there's video of it. Then all of a sudden it becomes an outrage. Like, that's just so wrong. It's so backward.
Of course.
When you admit to striking a woman, that's it. You don't need the video. You shouldn't need the video. And so, like, this seems to stand out in every case. It's like, is there video? Do you see it? Because Reuben Foster has no video. So it sort of goes, I mean, people are outraged, certainly, but nothing like this. Nothing like Ray Rice. And why? Because there's pictures with these.
No, that's right. Look, once people see it for themselves, like, they find it far more credible. And so now there's a public relations storm that they have to address. There's no way this guy's going to escape this without doing some sort of suspension here. There's just no way. Not because the heat that's going to come down on the Chiefs and the league is going to be considerable. So that, what are they going to do? Stand there in the face of all that and say, well, we're not going to suspend them? People will go bananas over that. And I'm not saying that's the reason they should do it. They tried to get away with it. They knew. Of course they knew. Just like they knew with Ray Rice, but they thought the video would never see the light of day. It did.
And so did Goodell, by the way.
Right. And now they have to deal with it. So now there's no way that Kareem Hunt's going to be suspended. I don't know if it's today, tomorrow, 6 weeks from now, or in March. I have no idea. To me, that's what the question is. But I can't imagine that after this video comes out, he's not going to be suspended.
I'm just telling you, wait for the reaction. For if the Patriots play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game and Kareem Hunt's on the field, just wait to how insufferable that week's going to be. Just wait.
If people, you know, if Patriots fans still want to bitch about that, and I don't want to go relive it. The person they should really blame is Bill Belichick for throwing Brady under the bus on the day of the press conference, because that's what started the whole thing.
All right. So anyway, it's agenda free. That happened today. The Kareem Hunt video you want to say domestic violence, but it's technically not, because he didn't know the gal. But it doesn't matter. His assault on a woman. That video came out, and so that's the big news across the league today. But we got everything from the week you want to get to, anything we hit on or didn't hit on, it's all up to you with your calls at 617-779-0985. Earlier in the week, I asked these guys the worst quarterback situations in the league. Scott in Jersey, I think, wants to weigh in on that conversation. Go ahead, Scott.
Fellas, somehow your conversation from Tuesday failed to touch upon the absolute embodiment of sucks and blows in the NFL, which has to be Mark Sanchez backing up starter Colt McCoy.
Okay,
Alex Smith, go ahead.
Yeah, but they have Alex Smith, you see.
Whose career is toast after that, after the leg. They also have 6 wins in the bank on the season. Maybe they back their way into 1 or 2 more. So figure the draft is probably not going to help them. If some they manage to find their way to a high draft pick, Danny Snyder, most heavy-handed owner in the league, is going to weigh in heavily on that one. And if somehow they navigate their way through that maze of absolute suck, they will turn that high-picked quarterback over to Jay Gruden. I think that takes the cake.
It's pretty good. Not bad. We might have left him out. When we talk about bad quarterback situations, it's like I look at it now and in the future. You would say the worst quarterback situation in the league right now is Jacksonville. Call it.
New York Giants.
Well, New York Giants. Okay, so New York Giants is another one. New York Giants right now are 3-8, and they're going to have a top 3 or top 4 draft pick. They can address it. There's light at the end of the tunnel there. They got a horrible quarterback, but they're drafting 4th if the draft were tonight. They can move wherever they want and get the quarterback that they want. Jacksonville, if the season ends tonight, drafting 5th. They can start over a quarterback. There's light at the end of the tunnel. The places that I think are in deep, deep trouble are places like Denver, who don't have a quarterback now and aren't in a position to draft the quarterback of the future because they've won too many games. Cincinnati, don't have the quarterback now, too close to the middle of the draft to get the guy now, and Washington, like, that's another good one. Although I put Alex Smith a little bit above these guys.
Yeah, I didn't list Washington because we don't know definitively that Smith has done. With modern medicine, most of these guys come back. Like, I don't assume his career's over, but if his career's over, they're in trouble.
He'll be 35 by next season, and he kind of stinks anyway.
But you know who really has their work cut out for him? I mean, really?
The Patriots?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I'm surprised you didn't jump on that, man.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about, like, the Patriots don't have a great quarterback situation.
They're not drafting high anytime soon. If you believe in cap space, they don't have it. What do they have to trade or deal? Like, you know, they need Brady to hang on for a couple of years.
Yes.
They need it because there's no way out for right now.
So they need at least two, and that's assuming that they have the quarterback next spring. Right, that they either get him in the draft or trade for him, whether it's Bortles or whoever else.
So they do have a bunch of second and thirds extras they could move around the board, I suppose. But
it's a bad quarterback draft.
It's a bad quarterback draft, according to the experts. You're sort of asking them to thread the needle with another Garoppolo. You know, find your guy in the second round, late in the first. You know, he did it with Garoppolo, no question about it. Can he do it again? I mean, that's sort of asking a lot.
But that was a good quarterback draft, that draft.
We've got Scott and Weymouth on the Rick Middleton thing last night. Go ahead, Scott, quickly.
Yes, what's going on, guys? Real quick, I'll be 20 seconds, Felger, as you know. Jim, I see you mocking the Stones, best band of all time. The one you should be singing is, because it's consistent with their concert coming up, This Could Be the Last
He's
time.
Done it already. What's your next point?
All right, cool. Last night, Felger, you're a hockey guy. Rick Middleton, with all due respect, great player, should not have his number retired. I disagree.
Of course not.
Well, do you agree with me?
Of course. Of course,
yeah, I mean, know what I said today on a different show this morning. If you're going to retire,
I'm sorry, you said it on a different one call a day, Scott.
Yep, see you later.
Goodbye.
And every time you say it's going to take 20 seconds, it takes you 20 seconds to get there.
It takes you 20 seconds to clear your throat.
Just start with the take.
Whatever other show you call today, just call them and leave us alone. And I don't hate you. Like, you're fine. But it sounds like you've already gotten your yayas out, to use another analogy.
Well, that's pretty good.
Thank
right
you.
There.
So you've already done it. So just stick with the other show.
He's gotten better.
He's gotten a little better since we put the shot clock on him. Mike in Easton has been waiting patiently for a Stone song. Go ahead, Mike.
Felger. Man. When will my Stones ticket appear? That's all I got.
All right, not bad, Mike. Not
good.
Bad. You know the song, Maz?
Yeah, Angie.
Angie, very good.
Yeah. Felger.
Mazzy.
And you got the coordination right. Like, so that was next level. All right. Bill and Southie with an NFL thought. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Just one quick thing. I think the enigma of Philip Rivers has been bugging me all season again. And I just wanted to get your quote-unquote expert take on where you think he stands in the echelon of NFL quarterbacks. Overrated, underrated, underappreciated. All everything. I mean, he's in top 20 in most categories. He's never won the big one. He's come close to winning some big games. Usually runs into the Patriots buzzsaw. If it wasn't for Troy Brown's amazing play in San Diego, and then playing on half a leg when he played here. I'm a Pats fan. Don't really care about the Chargers or Phillip Rivers. But his career, I think, is one of the most mind-boggling things I've ever come across. Happy Friday, and also Feld. I love listening to you say that you love watching men pound each other.
Okay, yeah, I do. Phillip Rivers.
Overrated.
I mean, he's a top three guy this year, top five guy this year.
Yeah. He's been one of the best players in the league this year, but generally speaking, I would say overrated.
Yeah, a little. Just a little. I mean, do people put him with Brady and Manning and those guys? No. He's the next rung down.
Yeah, he is.
He's with Breeze and probably Aaron Rodgers.
Is he with Breeze?
Yeah, I think people lump him in with Breeze.
I think that's too high.
So, yeah, I do so, too, because Breeze won a title.
People lump him in with Roethlisberger, Breeze.
Too high.
Rodgers, Rivers.
And this is what I mean, overrated.
Yeah.
He's a notch below that. And the other thing is, I hate the way he throws. God, Oh, my God, do I hate the way he throws. He really does. He short arms the ball. And I think as he's getting older, it's getting worse because he doesn't have the same arm strength or something. But that aside... Look,
He should be lumped in with the likes of Dan Fouts and Bledsoe and players like that.
He's closer to Bledsoe, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
I don't know. If you gave Rivers the right coach, I think he'd win. I don't think Bledsoe ever would. So I think Rivers is better than Bledsoe.
Rivers is a good leader. He's got balls. I don't know how great a passer he really is. Just my two cents. I think he's overrated. I've always thought he was overrated.
We continue on Agenda Free Friday with your falls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Cowboys defense has gotten them to this point, and it's just going to have to take them the rest of the way. Second and five. 18 seconds from the 2-minute warning. Breeze back under pressure. The ball's intercepted. Jordan Lewis at the 22. Jordan Lewis intercepted Drew Breeze and returned the ball. 17, the first Cowboy takeaway of the night. How about you, Jordan Lewis?
Okay, back to your phones. Meantime, I don't know if you heard this report. Sox reliever Craig Kimbrell's on the open market. Reports out today is that he's asking for a 6-year contract. Your reaction?
Oh, God, please. 6 years. Blow it out your ears. Like, 6 years. That is laughable. Any executive who gives Craig Kimbrell 6 years should be fired on the spot. Like, instantaneously.
So I think Beadle was going over this earlier today. Mo Rivera never signed more than a 4-year deal.
I believe that is correct.
And Beto went over it. I don't have it in front of me. I forgot what he said. But he went through it like his last five contracts. And it was like 4 years, 2 years, 2 years, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year.
Pretty much.
that's what Rivera did at that stage of his career. And this guy's asking for six.
Yeah, six is asinine.
And he was yanking the ball. You know, he was hitting the mascot on every other pitch in the second half of the season.
He's not going to get it. And he knows he's not going to get it. It's like the type of move where you shoot for the moon and you hope someone gives you half of it. So last year on the market, I think Wade Davis got 3 years and $51 million with Colorado, 17 per. So Kimbrel's going to want something in that range. And he might get four. Like, you know.
That's asinine.
Of course it's asinine.
For a freaking closer. But I mean, I'll say he's a lot more consistent than most. But generally that position, on 1 year, off the next, on, off, on, off. I mean, he's one of the few that put it together year after year, but still 4 freaking years.
So the irony with him, like, to me, is that he feels like the kind of guy that's going to be in a market like Atlanta, San Diego, like a smaller, less intense market where you get half the stadium filled every night and he'll be fine. The problem is those teams don't have the kind of money he wants. So he'll end up somewhere. Someone will give him something good. But the idea of the Red Sox bringing him back, to me, it was never in play. If they bring him back, I'll be shocked.
Bill and Webster has a thought on this very story. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, guys. How I see the Red Sox is because I keep not hearing the fact that there's about $58 million coming off payroll this year between Ramirez, Panda.
Panda's not off.
And Palmer. He's not off?
He's not.
Okay, well, then there's a $40 million.
Well, so, Bill, let's just go under the assumption that they have some money to spend this year. What's your point?
Right. My point is trade Porcello, see if you can get an eighth-inning guy, sign Eraldi, because neither sales health of his is guaranteed. So at least you have a 50-50 shot of one of them hitting. And then extend Martinez for 4 or 5 years.
Okay, Bill, let me just stop you there. The whole premise of trading Porcello to sign Eovaldi, I like. And I like Porcello. I mean, I'm not eager to trade him, but I'm really keen on keeping Eovaldi.
Yeah, so look, Eovaldi, the latest stories out there, Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, and Feinsand used to work at the Daily News. He covered the Yankees. I mean, my point is he's a credible guy. And Feinsand says between the Astros and the Red Sox, they're the leaders for Eovaldi. Eovaldi's from that area. He's from the same town as Nolan Ryan, I think. And the Astros won.
No, they mentioned that once or twice, I think, came
up to him in the playoffs, and now that you mention it, yeah.
A million times.
So, like, you know, could the Astros outbid him? Sure. Like, I think they can keep Eovaldi and Porcello.
Oh, sure they can.
Like, they should keep both. Use Eovaldi like you used him last year. Start him, and then when you get to the playoffs, if you have to swing him around a little bit, then you do that. Like, no problem. You do it that way. The problem with the Red Sox is going to be going forward, but just quickly, they don't have as much money to spend as the caller thought. Because a lot of that money is going to go to a raise for Betts, a raise for Boga. All those guys are eligible for arbitration.
Right.
So,
and Betts is going to get a record amount. He's going to be close to $20 million.
I bet you he's over.
Okay, so no bargains there. Jeff in the car from Maz. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, a couple minutes ago, coming into the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour, you were talking about Kareem Hunt potentially playing in the uproar that would be there if the Chiefs and the password of meeting the AFC Championship.
Yes.
And, yeah, Tony, I think you said that if we had anyone to blame for Brady not playing and Kareem Hunt playing, it would be Bill Belichick. No.
That's not what I said. I did not say blame Belichick. Like
he said blame Belichick for Deflategate. What's your
right.
point?
My point is, Tony was making it seem like we should be not blaming Roger Goodell for not suspending Kareem Hunt for the rest of the season for what he did.
To me, I don't think you care about Kareem Hunt. That's what I think. You don't really care about Kareem Hunt. And really, at the end of the day, I'm not saying you endorse the abusing of women, but domestic violence is not something that you're really concerned about. What you're concerned about is crying about Deflategate. And so anytime someone around the league doesn't get punished enough, I hear, how can Greg Hardy throw a woman on a bed full of guns and get less than Tom Brady for deflating balls? How can Ezekiel Elliott do X, Y, and Z and get the same amount for Tom Brady for just deflating balls? How come this player can only get this for doing that when Tom Brady got four? So all you care about is the four for deflating balls. And it's ponderous. It's annoying because it's fraudulent. You don't really care about what Kareem Hunt gets.
On a global scale, too, I think most hammerhead football fans, like, they care that he's going to be out and it might affect their fantasy teams.
Of course.
Yeah. The number one issue for most people is the fantasy implications. And then number two, a place like here that may have to face Kansas City and they're severely diminished if they don't have him, so you want a heavy suspension.
Right.
You want a big suspension, and I'm not calling you bad people. I'm just saying this is how fans think.
Because it benefits you.
You want to have a big suspension for him because you want the Chiefs to lose. Not necessarily because you want to stamp out domestic violence, although you care about it. I'm just saying, this is the first instinct. And that's all. That's what it is. And in Kansas City, they're no better. They're not. They're only concerned about winning their games, too. In fact, the Chiefs have brushed the whole thing under the rug because all they care about is winning their games. So I'm not singling you out. This is what the football fan does. You don't really care about the domestic violence. You care about your team and how it relates to your team.
Yeah, I just don't like having words put in my mouth. I never said anything about Bill Belichick, Kareem Hunt, and domestic violence. What I said was, if you're still pissed about Deflategate, which is what it is, and you're pissed that Brady did four games for it, then the guy you should really blame is Belichick. That's what I said.
We've got Jeff in Phoenix on that Dallas game last night. Hi, Jeff.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Great show. I just want to comment. I've been watching, Patriots fan, but watching the Cowboys from afar for a few years. And as I observe how they're building, they built their roster, and the game they played on defense last night, I think Belichick, I don't know who runs the show in Dallas when it comes to draft. Jerry's always got his nose in it, but there's got to be somebody else there. They have done a smash job in terms of the draft in the past few years. And Belichick could take some pointers from Jones and that organization how to draft some speed defensive talent.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for the call. I'm just going to rephrase that question because it's a whopper. Should Bill Belichick be taking cues from Jerry Jones?
No. No, stop. The trade, like anybody, gets hot for a short period of time.
Let me just play it out. Should he be drafting more speed, athletic guys?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what they do in Dallas.
Okay, but they also miss a lot in Dallas. So they're in a nice little hot streak here, and I like their defense.
I don't think that's it. I think they draft bozos who are stupid players and undisciplined players, and we saw it all last night. From the roughing the punter to the offsides to the putting the ball on the ground. They're an undisciplined, dumb team, poorly coached team, and their drafting probably plays into it. But they go after athletes. And the Patriots, really, that's not usually a priority for them at the draft.
Yeah, but again, I'll say the same thing. Dallas misses a lot for whatever reason, whether it's athleticism or aptitude or work ethic or whatever, they miss a lot.
It feels like there's more of a checks and balances system going on there, too, in terms of their draft. Because remember, he wanted to, wasn't it Manziel that he was all horny for, and they had basically had to grab the phone out of his hand before they called and made that selection, or they put the card up. They're like, no.
So what are you saying?
Well, there's more going on there, because when you said that, my immediate reaction was to say, no, Belichick shouldn't be following Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones is a bonehead.
So now he should?
They've done. Look, I don't think that they regret that Amari Cooper trade. And a lot of people are like, oh, who would give up a first round pick for Cooper? So far, it's paid off. And now he's trying again. And I don't blame him for checking out with the Raiders.
So, I mean, I just.
So, what I'm impressed with is their defense.
I just said that to dramatize the point.
Sure.
Should they be doing more to draft athletes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys who speak.
Particularly on defense.
Yes. Guys who can run.
Yeah. And look, that's what Jamie Collins was when they drafted him. Like, that was an athletic guy. They said they get at the end of the second round. And to me, and look, I'm not telling you Collins is a Hall of Famer. And he got beat by running backs on some pass routes. But I would also tell you that he's better than a lot of what they had. So, like, they could use more athleticism on the defense, especially.
Ryan and Weymouth. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. Felga, I'm agreeing 100% with you on this. Dealing with Kareem Hunt versus Brady. The Patriots fans are idiots. I'm not condoning this. Let me tell you that right away. There's a whole process to deal with. Brady was not suspended right after the fact. He played it out. They dealt with it after the fact. These Patriots fans are self-centered morons. They believe everything relates to them, and they just need to shut up. All right, I'm going to let you go. Let me think.
Okay, a little strong. I didn't say any of those things. I just don't want to hear the crying. It's a preemptive strike. I'm getting you in trouble for something you haven't done yet. I admit it. I just know it's coming. I just know it's coming.
It's already happened. What do you mean you know it's coming?
I know it's coming.
Like anytime, particularly if it's a guy on another team that's in the Patriots' way, and Kansas City is.
How does Roethlisberger get 2 games for locking the girl in the bathroom in that bar, and Tom Brady gets 4 games? Do you really care about the injustice, the moral, intellectual injustice of the 2 games versus the 4? Or does it just piss you off that Goodell was harder on Brady than Roethlisberger and you thus had to play 2 games, extra games, without your best player versus their best player?
I wouldn't even bring Roethlisberger into it. They're just pissed about the 4 games to Brady.
But you always compare it to something else. You go, how does he get 2 games for that and we got 4 games for this? I'm telling you, if you play the Chiefs in the playoffs and Hunt's on the field, look out.
Because
look out.
Bill Belichick stood at the press conference and said, you really should ask Tom about the footballs.
Now you're inciting people. That I don't want to incite people. I would never just purposely incite someone.
The Patriots put it on Brady's shoulders. Patriots did.
Felger and Mass Translator is like running it high.
Processor. Oh, it's overheating right now. Here's an update. We're back with more.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Felger's out of the studio here for a second. He'll be back in a minute. But we'll go right back to your phone calls. Dante in Linfield. What do you got, Dante?
Hey, guys. I feel like if you're going to have a conversation about bad quarterback situations, I don't know how you cannot mention Baltimore. I mean, you got to put Flacco out to pasture. He's over the hill. Lamar Jackson isn't a quarterback. And then you have the papier-mâché man in RG3 as the third stringer.
Okay, so Dante, is there any chance that you're wrong about Lamar Jackson?
Zero. 0.0.
Confident man.
You can't make basic throws.
Okay, but again, I think you're missing the purpose of the exercise, which is that the Ravens just used a first-round pick on a quarterback. So in their minds, they have a guy who could be the future.
And it's not like he's Tim Tebow and throws the football like a full can of paint. When he won the Heisman, what, 3-4 years ago, whatever the hell it was, he threw for 30 touchdowns and like 4,000 yards or whatever the hell it was. So they got to coach him up.
So, and this is the point, is that if you look at it, you say how many teams either have a quarterback that they're going to have for at least 5 years or have drafted a guy that they think they can develop and could be the guy in the next couple of years. They either have a stable starter and a what's the right word?
A high draft pick with upside.
Yeah, I was going to say a promising pick or young guy, like somebody you could say, okay, there's something there.
Yeah.
As opposed to looking at it and saying, well, what the hell are they doing there? Like a place like Jacksonville, how'd you like to be trying to fix that quarterback situation in Jacksonville?
And even though I said the Giants, because Eli Manning's, looking like he's just old and over and their backup, they at least drafted that Kyle Aletta, who the Patriots might have had some interest in out of Richmond last year. So maybe there's something there. At least there's potential there with a pick that they've made. No, Jacksonville, that's bad. You can't put Baltimore in there simply because of Lamar Jackson. It's too soon to say that.
So, and Felger's point is even if you take some of the teams that have horrible situations like the Giants and the Jags, that you could always draft a guy with the upcoming pick because they're going to have high picks in the draft. So the really screwed teams are the ones that are in the middle.
Right.
That, like Denver, that have Case Keenum and nobody. Right? Nobody. Steve's at home, I think, wants to talk about the Kareem Hunt story. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Mr. Felger, Mr. Maz, I don't know why you guys are acting like the fans are not saying that, we're pissed off about Brady getting screwed and we want to see this dummy get screwed and see how much gets screwed for him. And we don't want Hunt to get suspended so we have an easier road. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, well, Steve, then I commend you for at least admitting it. Because you're not diluting, you're not trying to cloud up the issue by saying, by bringing Brady or by bringing domestic violence into it. You just want Kareem Hunt suspended because it'll make the Patriots' road easy.
Absolutely.
God bless. Sorry. I was like, yes, fine. This is all put on the table.
That guy's honest about
that's
it.
That's what we care about.
I'll tell you, there's don't get me going. Just go. Seriously.
We're almost through the week, Maz.
I know.
There was a little blood in the water, but not a ton. So let's just get out of here. You have 19 minutes to go. Tim in Wilmington. Hi, Tim.
Happy Friday, guys.
Same to you.
I was just calling to say for the next year's draft, I think there are two quarterbacks you should be paying attention to, Daniel Jones out of Duke and Will Greer out of West Virginia. Daniel Jones could, if he declares, could be a top 15 pick, and if Will Greer falls to the Patriots, he's definitely our next guy who will continue this unprecedented run that we have.
Okay, so you're saying he's the next Brady?
Not the next Brady, but he's definitely a top-tier quarterback that could absolutely help us continue to win.
Okay, babe. Duke quarterback, I'm dubious.
But the quote-unquote experts of the draft, they think he's the third or second best quarterback in next year's draft.
Okay, fine. You do that on your own time. I'll judge him when he's here.
So Tim in Wilmington's the guy.
Put him on the Felger Maz big board.
He's the one that has the answers with regard to the draft.
Daniel Jones is his name.
Get ready for the market shot.
Yeah, he's a draft nick.
So listen.
Tim in Wilmington.
I've asked this before.
Everyone else tells me the quarterback draft blows.
What should be the bar for the next quarterback? In other words, I've asked this before. If the next guy that they draft turns out to be, the one I asked before was Tony Romo. Is that a win or a loss?
Win.
Win,
I suppose.
Win.
Yeah.
Is a legit NFL quarterback that
get you to 9 or 10 wins every year.
How about Kirk Cousins?
That you can win. If the next guy they draft is on the level of Kirk Cousins, is that good enough?
No.
Yes.
It is.
Yep. Yep.
Enjoy mediocrity.
Sadly, it is.
Seasons.
Sadly, it is. What's his career record? I bet you it's pretty good. He's
Bill
not,
could win with Cousins.
He could.
Now, I hope Bill's still here. So, this, you've got also graded against, are we giving this new quarterback a generic coach, just Joe average coach, or is it Bill? I think Bill could win with Kirk Cousins.
I see an athletic guy that has a lot of mobility that can get out of the pocket. I would like a Pat Mahomes clone.
Of course. So wait a minute.
That's what everybody wants.
You want to go from the best quarterback the last 20 years to the best quarterback in the league for the next 15. That's not going to happen. You can't. I mean, unless, my God, unless, lightning strikes twice. You're not going to draft the next Tom Brady. If the next guy is Steve Young, you should be happy.
Sure, yeah.
That's a win. If the next guy, Favre to Aaron Rodgers, you win.
Those are huge wins.
Huge wins. But what's just a win? I think Kirk Cousins would be a win.
So I was just looking up his one loss record career. He's 32-34.
Cousins?
He's under 500.
He stinks.
I didn't realize he was that bad.
He doesn't stink. He doesn't stink.
Again, he's this generation's Bledsoe. He's Bible Bledsoe.
His career rating is 95.1, which is a little above average. He's basically a B quarterback.
Matt in Framingham, what do you got for us, Matt?
Hey, so Murray, I miss the Wheel of Gutless Bums, but I think you should start doing the Wheel of Clueless Coaches. Now, Sean Payton, he's actually a guy who has a clue. And even him,
oh my God,
right before the 2-minute warning, right, the 2-minute, yo, the 2-minute, he called a timeout.
Brutal.
What a dummy. He gives him a chance to go pass interference, game over. And then he bowls both of his challenges at the beginning of the game, and then the press conference acts like it's nothing. I just can't stand the culture. And as far as the quarterback stuff, I'm just like, I can't get over it. They should have just either kept Garoppolo or trade out when they should have, or like, you know what? When you messed up there, yeah, you could have brought Lamar Jackson.
Hey, Matt, yeah. Matt, I'm gonna stop you there. Thank you for the call. The coaching thing, I mean, Sean Payton's been around forever.
That last couple of minutes I found fascinating from that game last night. Because Jason Garrett, it's shocking he still even has a job. But he really outcoached Sean Payton in that last couple of minutes. And that team is undisciplined, Dallas is. But Payton calls it at 2:03. And you think, hey, let's watch football. Even if you play Madden recreationally, you know, like, okay, well, this sets up the pass. Is Jason Garrett actually smart enough to call pass? He does. And it's a ticky-tack pass interference, and good on them. He outcoached Sean Payton. Jason Garrett outcoached Sean Payton in the last couple of minutes of that game.
Think
it was
of that.
Stunning.
Think of that.
Might be the last game that New Orleans loses.
Yeah, but it shows you. So, but, Maz.
My words.
I find that take interesting. It's like.
No, I think New Orleans is going to win the Super Bowl. I do.
You still do. So you.
Yeah,
you
so do I.
You believe. Wait. Whoa.
I told you yesterday, what? Dallas. So I told you yesterday Dallas is going to win that
I
game.
I picked the Saints before the season, so I'm sticking by
you it. You guys believe in the Saints as much as you did before yesterday?
Yeah.
No, not as much.
Yeah,
no.
I do. Yeah, because I do.
Well, then talk to him.
My biggest takeaway, Maz, was that it feels more wide open. I thought the NFC was more top-heavy because of the Saints and the Rams, and it just shows you this rampant stupidity everywhere. It doesn't matter how good a team is.
Yeah. Well, the Saints were lined up for a loss last night. I said this to you yesterday off the air.
You said Dallas. Did you say Dallas on the air or off the air?
I said Dallas off the air.
Chicken.
I said Saints are going to lose tonight.
Just say it on the air.
Because they were at Dallas, short week. They've been lighting everybody
why
up.
Why wait for the light was on to say that?
You were scared.
Yeah, I wasn't
but
scared.
You're scared to say that on the air.
No, because nobody gives a crap other than Cousin Mabel, who hasn't called the show in months.
And
for
me,
because
I want
loud.
The sound.
But I'm telling you, okay, so next time I'll say it on the air. I picked Dallas yesterday. In fact,
thank you.
I bet Dallas in the over. I got hit on Dallas and screwed on the over.
Did you actually call Joey the Nose?
No, I did it another way.
Nice.
So I picked Dallas last night. I'm not surprised the Saints lost at all. They weren't going to go 15-1. They weren't. They might not lose again.
All right, Celtics tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They have the Cavs in town. They better not lose this one. I don't care who's out. Horford's out. And Jaylen Brown's still out back. Horford's just resting, which I'm not. Gasper asked me if I was outraged by, and I'm not at all. Horford's extended paternity leave bothered me so much more than just resting. He just called it rest, that thing 2 years ago. I wouldn't have said a word because these NBA guys rest. It's like that's standard operating procedure. The extra days in the paternity ward? No. So anyway, they better not lose tonight. Jay on the Cape has a Celtics take for us. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, Kyrie, his comments today, it moves him to the next stage, I think, of controlling the team's lineup.
What was Kyrie's comments today?
Well, he said he likes the combinations with Hayward and Rozier. And he even told Hayward later to shoot more. So he's taken over the coaching job.
So you're saying he likes the way Hayward and Rozier look on the second unit.
He thinks Hayward's passed too much. He thinks Hayward's got to be more assertive and more aggressive and look for his own shot.
It's one thing for him to say, I like playing with Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart, which he said last week, right? When Marcus out there, I can do X, Y, and Z, and Marcus and me playing together. That makes, you can talk about it. To then talk about how it looks on the second unit, that is baby LeBron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. He's gone full-blown superstar
that's
now.
That's the spawn of LeBron right
Yeah, he
there.
Is. He's running the team. He thinks he is anyway. I mean, he probably is on some level because you got to pacify this guy until you get him under contract. Then once you get him under contract, you go, yeah, okay. Yeah. Hey,
I'll
thanks. See you later. We'll do what the hell we want to do. That said, you realize that whenever Irving is not on the floor, their offense this year has suffered dramatically. So if they can have someone in another group on the floor that actually they can run the offense through, I'm all for it. I don't think he's wrong, is the point. I don't think Kyrie's wrong.
It's just his place to say it.
Oh, exactly. This it's irritating.
Guy. Again, this guy. Hey. Just stop talking. Just play.
I think he's passing a little too much for Gordon's potential and his talent.
Oh, well, no. He doesn't want to dim down on, how special he is.
Well, because Gordon Hayward's a shell of himself.
Well, nobody is, but is Irving the guy to be saying this? Go ahead.
So, yeah, this is from B-Rub of Boston Sports Journal. Honestly, I think that he's passing a little too much for Gordon's potential and his talent. I think coming up in the next few games, he'll be able to show some different things that he's been on for the start of the season. Just being more aggressive offensively and looking for his shot more. We had practice yesterday, and I told him, look for your shot more. Get aggressive and get yourself going because you're a great talent in this league, and I don't want you to ever forget that.
Oh, this guy's LeBron.
Oh, yeah, no, he doesn't want Hayward to dim down how special he is.
Of course, he does a great job of coming off the pick and roll and making those passes, but I want him to be aggressive and score the basketball for us as well because we're going to need it down the stretch.
This is a teammate saying this?
Has he watched Gordon Hayward this year? He's had one good game. He's been terrible off of pick and rolls.
Wow.
He's Evan Turner.
No, this Irving guy.
Oh, yeah, no. But before long, Kyrie's going to be calling out the double teams and everything from the bench, too.
Like, oh, my God.
He's running the team.
Just play. Just play. Stop talking.
I wonder if he gets a second salary for that, for being coach, player coach.
Final word comes your way next. Do we have fresh material to speak
Yes,
of?
We have a combination.
A fresh combo.
Oh, I know what it is.
Has to be the Rick Middleton thing.
I would think.
Nope.
Oh, it's earlier in the week?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. What would the combo be?
I'm thinking.
Me too. It all blends. It's all, it's like.
It has to do with rankings of something.
Rankings. Quarterbacks.
There it is.
Love it.
Okay. That's fresh material coming your way next in the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
No one. No. Yeah, nobody.
Again, we are brought to you by Planet Fitness, a gender-free Friday. Brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Reminder, Christmas in the City auction. I'm sorry. Fundraiser comes on Thursday.
Yeah, next week.
Next Thursday at the Seaport. Okay, next Thursday at the Seaport. The fundraiser starts at 6. So come on by, donate some toys or some money, help donate to the cause. Felger and Maz will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 just before the fundraiser. It'll bleed in a little bit into the event. So come on by and say hi and stick around and help out the cause for Christmas in the City. Next Thursday at the Seaport Hotel.
All right, we're good to go. So we have a combo Squeaky Maz Mad Mike put together by Hardy, Zolak and Bertrand. So it's about quarterback rankings from earlier this week.
Love it.
Give me your current NFL quarterback power rankings. Meaning, right now, not who's had the best career or necessarily who's had the best season. Tonight, name your top NFL quarterbacks.
I'm going to start at the top.
Good.
Breeze, Mahomes, Rivers, Luck, Wilson, Brady.
Brady 6.
Way too high.
Ooh.
Oh, come on, Maz.
Hold on. You said power rankings. Right now, Breeze, Mahomes, Luck, Wilson, Rivers, Goff, Watson, Mayfield, Newton Rogers.
Newton Rogers?
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the games that have... Oh, every f***ing game that's on national TV, have you watched it?
He's better than Brady.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
No, he hasn't.
Let me ask you a question. Where does Brady rank in passer rating in the last 6 weeks?
Last 6 weeks, I don't know.
19th. 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 He's thrown 6 touchdown passes in the last 6 weeks. 6. 6. 1 per week. That's Mariota-esque. That sucks. He hasn't been good for a while.
Agreed.
Putting Cam Newton ahead of him.
Average.
If you're saying Brady's 7, okay. He should be no lower than 7. But any lower than that, Cam Newton?
What's wrong with Cam Newton?
Cam Newton's been terrible for like 4 straight weeks.
I'll take Cam Newton.
Oh, please. I'm still putting Brady ahead of Goff right now and even Deshaun Watson.
You guys are delusional. He hasn't been in the top 10.
I'm not a stats humper.
You people are on crack.
Love it.
Very good.
Thank you, Hardy.
I'm clearly the only objective guy on this program.
Standard. Standard sort of debate. Thank God for Mass's objectivity.
Yep.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.